He said that Cuba would try to get the council to do something to stop this war, although there's not much the council can do. After all, it was the council that authorized this action. And a CNN crew a short time ago went to the Iraqi mission to the UN to see what kind of response they would have at this early time in the hostilities. Someone merely closed the door on CNN people saying, no, no, no. It was interesting, actually, when word of this started to come through here at the UN, filter out here at the UN, it wasn't confirmed. I happened to be near some of the Iraqi delegation, some of the lower-level people that were sitting in the UN, and I told them what we had heard, that the hostilities were starting. They were serious, calm about it, and they simply at that point thought it probably wasn't true. Well, it is true. The Kuwaiti ambassador, by the way, welcomed the attack and said he wished victory to the U.S.-led operation. I'm Jeannie Mose reporting live from the United Nations.
Thank you, Jeannie. I might make note now for our viewers that we have temporarily lost contact with Baghdad. I don't wish to alarm anyone. We did expect to have this come in and out. But our three correspondents, Bernard Shaw, Peter Arnett, and John Holloman, are there in the Al Rashid Hotel. We expect to, and we hope to be bringing you some more of their reports later. The NATO foreign ministers have announced an emergency meeting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They will be meeting at their headquarters. Officials, Operation Desert Storm, wave after wave of Allied planes attacking tonight the city and capital of Baghdad. Let's go now for an update to the Pentagon and Wolf Blitzer.
David, here at the Pentagon, we are broadcasting now from the CNN office at the Pentagon. They're getting the studio in the Pentagon ready for a briefing in about 1 hour, shortly after the president's address to the nation. They're getting it ready for a briefing by the Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Colin Powell. I want to reiterate what you said. The loss of communications, hopefully only temporarily, from Baghdad should not necessarily be a source of great alarm. For days, Pentagon officials have been telling us here at CNN that in this initial airstrike, once it happens, the U.S. will be zapping most of Iraq with so much electronic jamming equipment, so many electronic signals, that almost all of the communications, telephone, satellite, everything else, certainly television, almost everything is going to go out very, very quickly. It was a high-priority target for the U.S. military, not necessarily to go after civilian targets, but to make sure that all of the command and communications facilities in and around Baghdad, certainly in Basra in the south of Iraq, closer to Kuwait, all of that would be knocked out. The major reason being that the 540,000 Iraqi troops in and around Kuwait, what's called the Kuwaiti Theater, Kuwait and southern Iraq, that they would be isolated from command headquarters, from the bunkers where presumably Saddam Hussein personally is giving orders. So I just wanted to reiterate that we should not be overly alarmed by the loss of communications, and we should not be surprised if those communications with Baghdad are derailed, at least for the duration, at least for the time being. Let me also say that this airstrike is an airstrike. We have no indications that any U.S. land forces have actually moved in to liberate Kuwait. It has always been assumed that it would be several days, maybe even a week or two, could be longer, before any of those ground forces would be used. Certainly the initial reports reaching the Pentagon from CENTCOM, Central Command Headquarters in Riyadh, from General Norman Schwarzkopf, the commander of Operation Desert Shield, those initial reports appear to be very favorable as far as the U.S. is concerned. The orchestrated U.S. airstrike with all of the targets, the Scud missile bases, the anti-aircraft facilities, all of the Iraqi air bases, anything that could endanger the invading U.S. Air Force and the Navy fighters, all of that would be destroyed in this initial airstrike. David?
Wolf, thank you very much. It is 8:37 in the East. President Bush addresses the nation at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just moments ago, the White House spokesman, Marlon Fitzwater, described the president as calm, expectant, very matter of fact. He has been watching the first reports of the action which he initiated. We're going now to New York. The financial markets are reacting. Certainly there have been some jiggles in the oil markets. Bill Hartley reports now from New York.
Well, David, the outbreak of war is, of course, dominating world financial markets at this hour. Japan's stock market, though, down only very slightly in morning trading. Apparent relief that something has finally happened. Nikkei average is off just over 75 points. That's about a third of a percentage point. Oil prices are rising right now on fears of what war will do to Middle Eastern fields, but spot traders say there are very few buyers or sellers. The quoted range is anywhere from $7 to $12 a barrel, higher than closing New York prices. That would put a barrel of light sweet crude just over the $40 mark. And the dollar is sinking against most major currencies, off 1.25 yen against the Japanese currency, falling about 2 pfennigs on the German mark and 1.25 cent on the British pound. We'll be following other markets in Asia and Europe through the night. David?
Bill Hartley reporting from the Financial Desk in New York. Thank you very much. I'm pleased to report that we can go back to Baghdad now and our three correspondents there. Let's see who picks up the phone.
This is Peter Arnett here. We're just temporarily off the air. There has been a lull for about 15, 20 minutes now. There has not been one tracer bullet in the sky. We don't see any more bombing in the distance, so for the time being anyway, it is quiet. I'll give you over to Bernie Shaw.
Thank you, Peter. Just to explain to our viewers why you did not hear from us for a nervously long time. For the past 20 minutes, I've been hiding under a table. And what happened was the security people made a sweep. They got very upset that there were three mortals on this floor, just three men standing in a hotel room. So I scampered to hide to make sure that if they pulled Arnett and Holloman out and took them downstairs into custody, at least there would still be one CNN person on the air. John?
I did the same thing you did, Bernie, only I hid under a bed. And it's amazing that somebody as large as I am can get under a bed that close to the ground, but I was able to do it at least. And the situation here now is, the Iraqi authorities now know that we're here, and I don't know that they've been able to tell. I don't know whether their satellite dishes that are tuned to CNN work in the blackout conditions.
I'm concerned that we not be summarily picked off one by one, so I'm going to yield the microphone to you, John, and to you, Peter, and I'm going to go back and hide under this table, not because I'm fearful of what's happening outside in the air, but I want to be sure that if there's another sweep, if you two get picked off, at least one of us will be here, and perhaps it might be a good idea to rotate this.
Sure. Good idea, Ben.
I'd like to assure our viewers the hotel security men were amiable. They let me stay. They understood. I explained that I didn't tell them we were reporting live from this hotel room, but I did say that we had been invited by the Minister of Information to witness what was going on here, and they accepted that explanation. 1 minute, please.
Here we go. I'm just looking out the window. The security people have forced us to close our windows. And maybe it's for our own good, maybe not. We don't know whether these windows are going to shatter under blasts or not. But there's some beautiful tracer fire outside now. It's way up in the air. It's bright red blasts and yellow blasts. And with the windows closed, we can't hear as well as we were able to hear before. But, it continues to go on outside now. We don't, because we can't hear as well, we can't really tell you as much about what's going on as we would have been able to with the window open. Well, these security fellows also took some of the videotape out of one of our cameras. They say we'll get it back tomorrow. I'm a little skeptical that we will, but it was the beautiful pictures that we took to go along with the commentary that you heard earlier tonight on CNN.
You keep using that word, beautiful. This is not beautiful to me. Peter, you were being modest when you told viewers you explained that you had the permission of the Interior, the Information Ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have heard this masterful performance. I was in the other room on the floor under the table, and this Peter Arnett man said to the security guy, I spent 10 years in Vietnam. The bombs outside, they don't bother me. If I go down in the shelter, I go crazy. It was quite a performance, and he conned him.
That's right.
All right, Bernie and Peter and John, we'll be back to you. Thanks for that report. We're going now to Charles Jaco, who has been reporting to us from Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. Charles?
Yes, another false alarm, apparently. The air raid sirens went off here. We were led to believe it was some sort of air raid alert, either a missile alert or an air raid attack. We've stayed out here, losing phone lines, getting them back. What we can see is behind us, I don't know if you can see them, the lights of the city are on. It's rather unusual for a city that might be thought to be under attack, but the city is still brightly lit around the air bases here. There's no sign that the city is hunkered down or blacked out at all. Air raid sirens did sound. They sounded for a couple of minutes, then went off. Then the alarms here at the hotel went off, telling everyone to don their gas masks. All of us carry these now, and to get downstairs. Again, that it was apparently a false alarm. What we know, again, we can repeat, we heard earlier from Saudi military sources, which is that the first one was a false alarm. Apparently, this one was a false alarm. It was a national air raid alert. The last we heard from the Saudi military, and we say Saudi military because no information has been forthcoming here from U.S. military sources, is that the airstrikes against Iraq by Allied air forces, primarily the U.S. Air Force, have been massive, and they kept emphasizing that word, massive, and that they have detected no retaliation, either missile or jet, against Saudi Arabia from that. The Saudis are still obviously on pins and needles. They've been living in a state of high war alert since early August and are very understandably nervous and concerned about what might happen. But so far, everyone here in Dhahran is safe, and there have been no problems except for bad cases of jangled nerves and scrambles down to the hotel basement into the shelter and putting on the gas mask. But all we can tell you right now is that apparently the attack was underway. It was massive. And so far, at least, and this was our information as of about 20 minutes ago, so far, no retaliation, either missile or jet of any kind from Iraq, has been spotted. Charles Jaco, CNN, reporting live from Saudi Arabia.
All right, Charles, we'll switch just a few miles away and go to Riyadh, I believe, and Don Sweeney. We're expecting a report from him. Come in.
The military personnel in Saudi Arabia have just learned officially from their commander that they are, in fact, involved in Operation Desert Storm. A communique from General Norman Schwarzkopf issued just a few moments ago. Part of it says to the members of the military, "You are a member of the most powerful force of our country in coalition with our allies that has ever assembled in a single theater to face such an aggressor. Now you have trained hard for this battle, and you are ready." He goes on to say a bit later, "Our cause is just. Now you must be the thunder and lightning of Desert Storm. May God be with you, your loved ones at home, and our country." It's signed H. Norman Schwarzkopf, the commander of the forces in Saudi Arabia. This is John Sweeney, CNN, in Riyadh.
All right, John, any extraneous noises outside where you are? Is everything fine?
We had one air raid warning about an hour and a half ago. We have not heard anything since then. The traffic in the streets is quite early in the morning here. It's 4:45 in the morning. The traffic in the street is quite normal. And other than that, things are quite quiet in Riyadh.
All right. Thank you very much. And now a moniker that I hope doesn't stick. Let's go back to the boys in Baghdad.
Thank you, David. The boys in Baghdad are here. And we want to tell you a couple of things. There have been calls we've learned from CNN, from other networks, asking about the safety of their people. There are 45 journalists still in Baghdad tonight, according to the Minister of Information. And as far as we know, all those 45 journalists are in this hotel, and everybody in this hotel is safe. It hasn't been hit. There's a series of fallout, or not bomb shelters, down in the basement. And virtually everybody except us is down there in those shelters. Bernie?
John, I made the trek downstairs into the bomb shelter and then came back upstairs, and indeed all the journalists who were in this hotel when it happened, and most of them were because there had been a series of staff meetings, they are safe downstairs in the bomb shelter. No one is being permitted outside the hotel. I know for a fact, CBS News, if you're wondering, I saw with my own two eyes Larry Doyle, and we go way back to our days at CBS in Washington. He's fine. I saw Alan Pizzi. He was sitting on the floor sipping a glass of something. He seemed quite content. And there's a young thin chap who said he worked for CBS. I think he does radio. He's fine. Everybody is safe. We know you're worried about us, and we're concerned about ourselves, but everybody is safe. Peter, you look like you want to say something.
I simply want to say, Bernie, that this lull has lasted about 25 minutes now. No aircraft fire, no bombing. So it looks like this first phase is over, and we'll get back to you when it all starts again.
Okay, thanks, Peter Arnett. John Holloman, you want to say anything before we throw it back to our colleagues?
I just want to look out the window one last time and make sure that that it is as quiet as it seems to us. There are a few air bursts out here, but there's no anti-aircraft. I mean, there's nothing loud and noisy that we're hearing, and we don't feel any vibrations from outside. So I think it's probably safe for us to let the rest of the network broadcast a little bit tonight. From Baghdad, for Peter Arnett and Bernard Shaw, John Holloman. We'll be here if you need us.
Compelling reporting, gentlemen. Thank you very much. It's coming up on 5 o'clock in the morning in Baghdad, and behind that, not too far, will be light. President Bush is going to address the nation shortly, within 12 or 13 minutes. And the lull that they're talking about having lasted 25 minutes may well continue until that is over. Also, we're expecting a briefing from the Secretary of Defense and Joint Chiefs Chairman Colin Powell at the Pentagon following the President's remarks. Now let's go to Norfolk, Virginia. An awful lot of ships carrying the planes that were in the air over Baghdad sailed out of Norfolk. Tom Mentir is there with those who stayed behind and with this report.
There are 35,000 Navy servicemen that have departed from Norfolk for the Persian Gulf. We are at the First Baptist Church of Norfolk, where just a few moments ago the Reverend here made the announcement to a packed congregation. There was a concert going on inside. Joining us is Colleen Jackson. Colleen, your husband, Kevin, is a lieutenant commander, and he is aboard the Saratoga. Tell me what thoughts went through your mind as the Reverend made the announcement. Did you think it would come tonight?
No, I didn't think it would come tonight, and I didn't think it would hit quite so hard. I knew that there were airplanes launched. I don't know if he's one of them. I'm scared. I can't think of a better place to have been tonight than to have been in church.
The church has a support system where they will contact everyone and make sure that people are not alone who are members of this church. Is it a good system? Does it help?
Yes, it does help, and I have my own support system of my friends from this church. They're making sure that no one will be alone tonight. They're making sure that everyone that needs to have a support, a shoulder to cry on, a friend to pray with. They're just the most wonderful people to be associated with right now.
Will you watch the president tonight?
Yes, I probably will, just to see if there's any information that I can find at all about what's happening with my husband and with the men in his squadron.
If you could talk to the president right now, what message would you send to him?
That I believe in him, that I'm praying for him, and to just bring our men home as quickly and safely as he possibly can.
Colleen Jackson, thank you very much. I know this is a very difficult time for you. Thank you. So it is one of the Navy wives, and there are 35,000 of them here in Norfolk, Virginia tonight. They're all waiting for some type of word. I'm Tom Mentir, CNN, reporting live from Norfolk, Virginia.
Thanks, Tom. They, too, are among the brave, of course, all across this nation. Let's return now to Baghdad and our three correspondents.
Thanks, David. Yeah, we're here, and it's very quiet outside. There still are an occasional flash of light off to the south of our location, far in the distance. There have been no big blasts in the recent past. No signs of anti-aircraft fire right now. No sounds of jets overhead. It's that eerie stillness that we talked about earlier in the day. Bernie Shaw is here now.
I just want to make this observation. The President of the United States is coming up to address his nation and the world very shortly. And that we are on the air means that the government of Iraq, its ears are wide open, and it will be listening to President Bush very closely. We told you earlier in the week that the Information Ministry had received its own satellite dish, and prior to that, the Foreign Ministry had it. We've got to run. Somebody's knocking on the door. John and I are going to hide. Peter, here.
Yes, this is Peter Arnett signing off for a minute, and I'll see what the action is outside.
All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. We assume that's not the Fuller Brush salesman. Let's go to Robert Vito. He's standing by now on the west coast of the United States at San Diego, another important naval base. Robert.
Well, I'm in an apartment complex in San Diego, and I've spent the last few hours with several wives whose husbands are serving aboard ships in the Persian Gulf. And we've all been glued to the television set watching CNN, mesmerized by what we've seen and by what we've heard. And it's been an emotional time for these ladies as they held hands and they prayed and had these feelings that I'll let them tell you about. Denise, what was your feeling, your reaction as you watched the events unfold?
I was scared, frightened for my husband, for the guys on his ship, and for the Iraqi people. because it's come to this, you know? This crazy man has brought us this far. I back my husband up. I'm very proud of what he does and who he is and where he's at right now. But I'm also scared because I want him home.
If you had a moment to talk to the president, what would you say to him, the president of the United States?
To get it done and over with as quickly as possible. I'd like to see Saddam Hussein brought in front of the UN Council and tried. That's the way I feel about it. This man shouldn't be walking free. I think he ought to be tried for what he's done and what he's put the Iraqi people as well as the United States and all the countries that are over there through.
Thank you, Denise. Kay, could you just come up? Kay Hunter is a lady who a lot of the wives who have husbands on ships lean on for support and help. What are your feelings?
I am very, very deeply concerned for all the people over there. We have to be strong together because it's our strength and our support of one another that is going to get us through this. And it's because of this group here and lots of groups like this all over the United States with the parents and the wives and the children that are going to help the families get through this. And we are here and we love them all and we're 1,000% behind the military. And Mr. Bush, get him over there and get it over with and get our husbands home.
Thank you. I know these are tough times. I'm going to ask Charlotte. Charlotte, could you just come over here and just share a moment with us and tell me your thoughts.
I'm very upset right now, of course, but I back up my husband 100%. I just want it over with and
did you support the action?
I feel that they did what they had to do. And I feel sorry for all the people over there that lives are going to be lost. And I think Hassam should have to pay for this. I think he should not get away with what has happened here.
Thank you.
Continuous coverage of Operation Desert Storm here on WCCO, Minneapolis-St. Paul, 26 degrees. It's cloudy. Rich Holter is in our studio too. Rich?
Denny, we're about 5 minutes away now from the scheduled address by the president from the Oval Office, and we, of course, will be bringing that to everybody live as our continuous coverage continues. Some things we've learned in the past few minutes that we might pass along while we have a minute here. A total curfew is now in effect in Israel. Israeli officials are saying they're not surprised by what happened this evening. So far, no attacks in Israel, as promised by Foreign Minister Aziz of Iraq following his meeting with Secretary of State Baker. Javier Perez de Cuellar of the United Nations reacted by saying he's saddened by the outbreak of hostilities in the Gulf. Initial reaction is coming in from U.S. commanders in Saudi Arabia. They say Operation Desert Storm is going extremely well at this point. No further comment. It's going on 5 a.m. in Baghdad right now, which means daybreak is about with us. We have no reports of any retaliatory strikes on U.S. or coalition's positions anywhere in the Gulf, although sirens have been sounded at several locations in Saudi Arabia. We're about 4 minutes away now from the White House. We'll be rejoining CBS momentarily. We'll tell you that following the president's address from the White House, we expect a briefing at the Pentagon. We'll learn more then about the military action that began about 5:15 this afternoon, Twin Cities time, when the airplanes took off from bases in Saudi Arabia. Following the Pentagon briefing, Eric Escala is standing by at the state capitol. He has talked with Governor Arne Carlson, with Congressman James Oberstar, Senator Paul Wellstone, and Congressman Colin Peterson. And we'll hear reaction from all of those. That will come following the president's remarks, now just 3 minutes away, and following the Pentagon briefing. So now, Denny, let's rejoin CBS.
I think people who get into that kind of guessing game are all wrong. I think the thing that we have to do right now is just pray for those young people who are over there. Hope that it is quick. Hope that it is swift. Hope that it is decisive.
President Bush, in about 3 minutes, is going to address the nation on the developments in the Persian Gulf. Before that, some final thoughts from Ben Works, our military affairs analyst.
From all the reports we've received so far, the first round of this offensive is going well. The Americans are doing well. The Iraqis are not. Our air forces are steadily tearing the country's ability to make war apart. it will remain to be seen, and we will report to you as soon as we can get more detail as to what further actions are going on and how the progress is coming through to us. And we will let you know everything we can.
We're awaiting a statement from President Bush, but now let's go first to Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
Apparently given, over Armed Forces Radio to the troops that are part of this operation, he starts simply by announcing that at 3 o'clock in the morning local time, we launched Operation Desert Storm, an offensive campaign that will enforce United Nations resolutions that Iraq must cease its rape and pillage of its weaker neighbor and withdraw its forces from Kuwait.
David Martin is reading a statement from the commander of U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf, General Norman Schwarzkopf. We'll be returning in about 2 minutes with continuing coverage of the outbreak of hostilities in the Persian Gulf with a statement we anticipate from President Bush, and after that, a briefing by Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney. This is continuing coverage of the outbreak of hostilities in the Persian Gulf on the CBS Radio Network.
And this is WCCO Radio with live continuous coverage of Operation Desert Storm. This is WCCO Minneapolis, St. Paul. We'll hear from the president in just a couple of minutes. It's 1 minute before 8 o'clock. Last report, cloudy skies, 26 degrees. Rich Holter from CCO Radio News is with us.
Yeah, a moment ago, Denny, before we went back to CBS, I indicated that we would be doing several things after the president has his speech, which now we're told is scheduled to start at 8:01 Twin Cities time this evening, his speech from the Oval Office. We will be hearing from Eric Escala at the state capitol, where he has talked with Governor Arne Carlson, who, by the way, postponed his State of the State message that was scheduled for earlier this evening. We'll also be hearing from Eric, who talked with Congressman James Oberstar, Senator Paul Wellstone, the newly elected Minnesota Democrat in Washington, and Congressman Colin Peterson, also a freshman in the Congress of the United States. WCCO Radio's Jan Urok is at a SACM meeting in Maple Grove this evening. That meeting began about 6 o'clock. SACM, of course, is the organization support our country's military. The families of those of servicemen and women now on station in the Persian Gulf and in Saudi Arabia. We'll hear from Jan reporting on that meeting. So our schedule now looks this way, Denny. Coming up at 8:01, the president will address the nation from the Oval Office on the official start of Operation Desert Storm, the attack on Iraq. It happened earlier this evening, 6:07 Twin Cities time. Now let's go back to the network.
Gulf War, I'm Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Washington. The air war in the Persian Gulf has begun, and we are waiting for President Bush to address the American people from the White House Oval Office. We are expecting that in just a few seconds. So far, all indications are that the operation has gone very well. That was one wire report from the Pentagon, and that was confirmed by the White House a short while ago. The president is expected to have much more to say about that. The air activity began, according to White House spokesman Marlon Fitzwater, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, about 2 hours ago. Fitzwater said U.S. forces began engaging targets in both Iraq and Kuwait. We are also told that British bombers were in the air as well, outside the White House, between 100 and 150 anti-war demonstrators.